This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Before his death last month, former poet laureate Donald Hall was preparing to publish his final book, a collection of short essays on life as he approached his 90th birthday, a birthday that he knew he would not reach. The book came out just last week and features Hall's reflections on the challenges of growing older, his encounters with famous poets, his life with his beloved wife, poet Jane Kenyon, and the way in which he spent much of his career exploring death. His new book is called A Carnival of Losses, Notes Nearing 90. And joining me now via Skype is his editor for the book, Deanne Ermey of Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Thank you very much for speaking with me.
You're welcome.
This was not your first time working with Donald Hall. Could you tell us a little bit about your history with him?
Sure. I have worked with him for, I think, about 17 years. And honestly, in Don's, considering Don's career, that's a mere blip. But I've worked with him on poetry and a little fiction. And then in the later years, the last three books have been essays because he stopped writing poetry at a certain time in his 80s.
Mm-hmm. So something he writes about in this book as being kind of a relief to move away from poetry into something else.
Yeah. Don knew when he wasn't writing well in any genre. And he always said that he wrote, as you've read, that poetry for him took testosterone, you know, literal life force that he knew when he was at the end of his poetry writing career. But to his delight, I think prose came back with a whoosh. I mean, he'd always written prose all his life, but essays became his form for the last decade of his life. And as you can tell from this book, he wrote with amazing, talk about the word force, amazing force in these essays.
Was there a difference in your approach with him, depending on the genre he was writing in?
No, you know, I'm not a poetry editor, and Don's poetry didn't need editing from the likes of me. He was such a fierce self-editor. He writes about that as well. For his essays, for instance, he would often revise the essays in this book and the others were often revised 60, 70, 80 times. And the same is definitely true of his poems. He sometimes put poems aside for years, even in a couple of cases, a decade or two, and just revised and revised. He was his own best editor, for sure, for both poetry and prose.
And how did you and Donald Hall work together to assemble this collection?
The mechanics of it first. Don wrote to me and to a lot of people almost every day. He, in the age of fax, his literary assistant, Kendall Currier, came to the house every morning and brought him his sheaf of faxes, and he read them and he dictated, and then she wrote answers, and the process began again the next morning. So editorially speaking, Don and I were in touch a whole lot. He would send me an essay when it was pretty well drafted and I would respond. He'd send chunks of the book. He'd send the whole book. He loved response of all kinds. I mean, he loved editorial response. He loved praise from me, from the outside world. He needed the eggs. He loved the juice. So he kept in touch a lot. He, as I said, he was his own best editor, but he loved being edited, especially, I would say, he had great faith that he knew how to write a sentence, and he did. Sometimes, in this book, it was really fascinating. There's a line here, of course, where he says, "Why should a nonagenarian hold anything back?" And he didn't. And there were a couple of cases for this book when I reminded him that he really wasn't holding anything back, and did he want to think about that? And a couple of small instances, he edited himself, although, you know, not a lot. And but that's the kind of editing I gave him, not so much line by line. Don was a master. Don taught me a lot. I didn't teach him a lot. He taught me things about writing prose that I still remember.
Like what things?
My favorite is how easy it is to take first person singular out of a sentence. You almost never need to say I when you're writing a prose or a letter. And that's a terrific parlor game that has improved my prose a lot.
You go through your own prose and take out all the first person singular?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, it works really well in a condolence letter, for instance. which is interesting when I think of it, because Don was, I think, one of our great chroniclers of loss. There, and in this essay, in this book, there's some writing about Jane Kenyon, his wife, who died 20 some years before Don, that I think is just some of the most beautiful writing about grief that we have.
In some ways, it feels like he is preparing to leave sort of his last impression on his readers with this. Is that something that he thought about?
Yeah, he was complete. I mean, he's, you know, Don's a Yankee, and he's seen the generations go. His death was something he really understood, the generational cycle. He understood it in a really visceral way, as many of us don't. There's so many stories about how he did understand that, and wrote about it. But he watched everything going on at his farm. And I think one of the things that I find very moving about this book, he loved a couple of things about Eagle Pond Farm the most, his barn probably foremost, but also an old 150-70-year-old maple tree right up front. And just about a year before he died, the maple tree fell. And there's an essay in this book about that, that loss. Another story about Don and death, I guess, because that's a topic. When he was dying, it was just before the book was going to be published, and there were people who wanted to talk to him. And I didn't know exactly what to do, so I asked about what to say. I didn't know what Don wanted known about why he couldn't speak to people. So I asked his literary assistant, Kendall, what she thought. You know, should we say he was not able to speak at this time, or you know, he was ill, and she asked Don, and he said, "Tell them I have terminal cancer." And that actually makes me laugh, because it makes me realize Don was writing perfect sentences until the end, not beating around any bush, being completely direct. And that's Don.
Yeah, that certainly seems like him after having read this book. I've never had the opportunity to meet him, but well, let me throw this out to you. When I read this book, I felt like he was sitting right next to me. I mean, that's how personal it felt. He talks about everything from sex and other bodily functions, his own personal faults, his habits, good and bad. I don't know if this is a question, but just an observation that I made as I was reading, like, wow, he feels really present.
Yeah, that's interesting. And he also, the other thing that I think makes him feel present is I find I was realizing reading through again, I find his writing occasionally when he makes a joke to be very funny. It's definitely, his witticisms are as if he's sitting right next to you.
There's one picture in this book that is, I think it's the only picture in the book. It's a picture of Don with an apple in his mouth. I hope we could put that on our website, because it's just such a fun picture of his youth when he was socializing a lot. He went to, a pig roast, right? A poet,
yes.
A party that was also a pig roast.
Yes. Yeah. Don would not deny that he was a little wild and out of control at some aspects of his life. I think that picture encapsulates it. That's the other thing that about this book that, he writes about that era of his life in A Carnival of Losses too, the era when he was teaching at Michigan, and he'd been not so recently roaming around Europe, knowing every famous poet in the mid-20th century, coming to Michigan, hosting, poets of just all the great poets of the era. And so he writes short pieces about some of those poets, reminiscences, he doesn't mean to be writing critically in this book, but he just tells stories about some of the poets that he came across.
I love that section of the book, actually. And he mentions people like Joseph Brodkey and Alan Tate and John Holmes. When I was reading this section, I was thinking, like, okay, Donald Hall is perhaps one of the last living poets to remember some of these people. It's almost like he's issuing statements that the biographers of those poets may be able to use someday.
Yeah, because there are stories that other people don't have, and they're very idiosyncratic stories. You know, Don's relationships to other poets were so idiosyncratic, competitive, loving, fierce, cantankerous. You know, poets weren't kind of the stuff of legend for Don. They were his bread and butter. They were, and you know, everyone from Auden to James Dickey to you know, E.E. Cummings to Stephen Spender. They're people to him. They were his friends, sometimes his enemies, and that's a pretty remarkable legacy, I think, for literature for Don's that Don passes on to us. Just those stories about poets doing their work.
What memories will you treasure having worked with Donald Hall?
I will treasure and miss the daily communications. Sometimes, of course, I thought, I might have something I better do, or I need to do instead of answer another Don letter. But I miss them terribly now that they're gone, and I miss his jokes. I miss his wonderful transparency. One of my favorite lines from Don, just in a letter recently, when he got some kind of attention, review attention, or some fine writer wrote to say they loved his recent essay. And he said, "Yippee, more attention for me." I'll miss that.
Yeah. Well, he writes in this book that he said it would be terribly depressing to go out of print, but I don't see that happening anytime soon.
I don't either. And Don knew. He was always, he kind of, I think he almost was excited about dying, because he knows that he knew that dying helped poet sales. So and that's been the case. And I hope, I think he knows. I'm sure he knows.
Deanne, thank you very much for speaking with me.
You're welcome.
That's Deanne Erming. She edited Donald Hall's last book, a collection of essays called A Carnival of Losses, Notes Nearing 90. And you can find all our coverage of Donald Hall over the years at our website, nhpr.org. We are always looking for reading recommendations from listeners like you. So if you've got one that we should take to the beach this summer, send it to us by email. The address is books@nhpr.org. And if you're so inclined, you can also tweet us at NHPR Bookshelf. This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you very much for listening.